Hello, this is Malcolm King of the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project, and here we are on the 29th of February 2010 at King's Home, and I have with me John Thayers from the project, and I'm pleased to say Mickey Booth has joined us to give his reminiscences. Thanks very much for coming, Mickey.
You're very, very welcome.
Can we start right at the beginning? Where and when were you born, Ricky?
Well, I was born about 70 yards from the corner flag, over by the White Hart there, in Siebert Street, number 7. 7th of the 12th, 1938. I went to the local infant school, the local junior school, which was St Mark's School. Then I went to the grammar school called Sir Thomas Ridge's Grammar School.
And were you born into a rugby-playing family?
No, not at all.
Oh, right.
No. My father played just a little bit, I think, at school. But none of the rest of my family played rugby now.
So how did you get into rugby?
I think it was...
Ridge's? Before that?
Well, I think it was because I lived so near the ground. I used to come and watch all the games at a very early age. And after the games at King's Home, we would go on to the Rec, which is just up the top there, opposite, over the top of the White Hart, and have our own game of rugby. And I can remember I used to try and emulate the great Leddy Williams, who was my favourite player in those days. And then...
What's your earliest memory of coming to King's Home then? What sort of age?
Well, the massive crowds, the invasion of the Welsh supporters. We played all the Welsh teams in those days, as we did in my day, but they used to flock to King's Home over the bridge to come and watch the Cardiffs, the Newports, the Swanses, the Meaths, and the ground was always crammed, packed full. And Gloucester had some very, very good players in those days. I remember watching in awe the little Willie Jones dropping goals from everywhere. And I saw Harold Boughton play, followed by the great Bill Hook. And Gloucester was just a wonderful rugby club in those days. And I didn't try and miss a match if I didn't always pay to come in.
But so you started to come and see them as soon as the Second World War finished and the club restarted?
I was over here for most of the rugby matches as a lad, yeah.
Did you come to any of the wartime internationals, or were you too young?
No, I didn't see any of those, no.
Be interesting to hear who made a real impression on you in those early years. In fact, I can help jog your memory by putting in front of you here that this is the list from the honours boards.
Yeah.
So you see that's the 1945-6 season.
Well, there was
Do you remember them?
Yeah. Some wonderful players there.
Tell us about them.
Danny Evans was the scrum half. There was a marvellous combination between Danny Evans and Willie Jones. Both Welshmen, and Danny played very late. He went on to, I wouldn't like to say what age he was when he finished, but he was certainly getting on a little bit. And they had a very nice three-quarter line at the time. There was Sid Dangerfield, who was the local policeman. He was on one wing, Charlie Crabtree on the other wing. Ken Daniels, who was like silk. His centre was Steve Davis, who sadly drowned off the coast of Cornwall. Then, like I mentioned, the two halfbacks, and then you had some characters in the Gloucester pack. Gordon Hudson was a wonderful player. Tom Price, Digger, Tom Day, and of course everybody's favourite, Charlie Dunn, who used to be a wonderful player. He put the fear into the opposition, but he was quite an entertainer as well. I can remember him once when we, in fact, I was one who helped as kids to cover the ground in straw to keep the frost out of the ground, and then on a Saturday morning, with the dangle of a free ticket in front of you, we had to come and get it all off and put it up against the rails. And I know when the teams come on the pitch, Charlie did a somersault into the straw. He was a wonderful character and a great player as well. But oh yeah, I remember those wonderful players as though it was yesterday.
Yeah, Charlie seems to have been a very versatile player.
Wonderful
as well.
Man.
He could
wonderful
play
man.
Anywhere.
Wonderful man.
Yeah.
He terrific bloke. I haven't seen him for a month, but most Saturday evenings I have a pint with Charlie, and we celebrated his 90th birthday just a couple of weeks ago, and Ken Daniel was there, and Bill Oak, the Reverend Phillips, they were all there too. Yeah, But that was there were some good players in that era. Terry's father, Joe, was the hooker. Joe Hobson, yeah.
So what stories has Charlie Dunn told you of the playing in those
days?
Well,
I can't recall. I can't repeat any of Charlie's stories. He was renowned character. Anybody involved in rugby in Gloucester would know of Charlie. But he was a very gifted player as well. Although he was a character, he also was a polished player too. Played a lot of games for Gloucester. Played for the county. And he's just a wonderful character. He's one of my favourites. I can assure you of that.
He was quick too, wasn't he?
Oh, Charlie had everything. He was quick. Yeah. He would score tries. I would think that he'd be in trouble with some of the cameras that are at the present games because he was quite a crafty sort of player, But you were able to do that in those days, when there was just the referee in charge. But today you've got all cameras and sighting officers and touch judges sticking their flags out. I don't think Charlie would be as good a player in the modern game as he was then.
Harold Boughton was captain of Gloucester that first year after the Second World War, 45-46. What sort of player was Harold?
Harold
he was
Boughton.
Getting on a bit by
Harold
then,
Boughton.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
He was a... it's very vague, my memory of Harold Boughton, but he was an international. He was a wonderful player, and I know he was a bus driver. And I can remember Ken Daniel telling me that when they played at Bristol, Harold Boughton was the fullback that day, but he drove the coach down to Bristol, played against Bristol, and drove the coach back with the team on board. I just wonder if he'd have pulled a muscle or broke his leg, sadly, or anything like that, how they'd have got back, I don't know. But Ken Daniel was telling me about that the other day, which was an interesting story now. With the way the players have luxurious coaches and drinks on board and all sorts.
Tell us about Digger Morris. He was a bit of a character, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, Digger was, you could pick Digger out in a crowd because he sort of had big cauliflowered ears and a big flat nose and one or two teeth were missing. But again, he was a great character. He did a little bit of boxing as well, and his son Roy played with me in that first final at Twickenham. He was another good player, but Digger was a county player. I think he captained the county as well, but he was a regular in the Gloucester team when I first was watching the club play.
I think he got to being a reserve for England immediately after the war as well.
Did he? Yeah, well, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.